Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of WikiCuriosity Media or its affiliates. WikiCuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to. Any music featured on WikiCuriosity Media programs is used with the express written consent of the artist, owner, or distributor. Coming to you live from the WikiCuriosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Just Know That's the Cinephiles. I am Dan.
Max.
I'm Angel.
I'm Austin.
And we are live both on blogtalkradio.com /WikiCuriosity and on Facebook Live. You can reach us by calling in 718-664-9735. Again, 718-664-9735. We'll bring you into the studio with us. Or you can hit us up on the live Facebook
feed.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. I had something there.
The Facebook live feed.
Yeah. Sorry, I had something on my tongue. Okay? I had some hair on my tongue. Sorry.
It wasn't me.
No, it was not.
Are you having problems?
I am. I'm having so many problems today. Speaking of Facebook, you can reach us. You can find us. Go to the search bar Behind the Screen Radio Show. Be the first one that pops up. Give us a like and a follow. Also, head on over to WikiCuriosity Media's Facebook. Give them a like and a follow. Hit us up on the website, www.wikicuriosity.wixsite.com/WCMedia. Just click the link on all of our Facebook pages. You can also find us on YouTube, WikiCuriosity Media on YouTube. So go and check that out. We're also on iTunes, WikiCuriosity Media on iTunes. You can catch all of our shows.
We're also on Spirit
Box. We're also on Spirit Box and on, I don't know.
Spirit Box
in there. a couple different platforms. But those are the big ones.
Primarily on Earth.
We're on Spotify. We're on Spoofy.
Okay.
We're on YouTube Music.
We're not.
We have a Netflix show?
We do not.
We
have an Amazon Prime show?
However, fun fact. So there is a dude named Hack.
Okay.
From Hack's Horror Show.
Okay.
On, I don't even know what ASY TV is, but on ASY TV and on Roku. So that's pretty cool. And Vimeo.
Yeah.
He has cons and movie spots, things like that. Who wants to connect with us?
Cool.
So you guys need to reach out to him.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah.
Venmo is what I was
thinking. Yeah. Yeah. Venmo is a streaming service.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, there you go.
Cool. We will reach out to him.
On Wicked Curiosity Media.
We just got a message on Behind the Screen that...
Okay, maybe it was that. I can pull it up on my messenger, so...
Okay, yeah, I will go check it out. Okay, so real quick, on this day in film and television, White Zombie, first feature-length zombie film directed by Victor Halperin and starring Bela Lugosi was released in the U.S. In 1951, Walt Disney's animated musical film Alice in Wonderland was released. Not a whole lot. Birthdays. Nobody that we care about.
Oh, that's rude.
Care about everybody.
We don't care about you. Happy birthday, nobody.
And that's pretty much it. So that was that.
Cool.
Yeah, anyway. It's the middle of the week. We did not have a show on a Sunday. We did not have a movie of the week. Mainly because we had other things going on this week.
We had a birthday.
Yes.
We had a house full of teenage girls, and watching a movie with a house full of teenage girls was...
not conducive.
Yeah, it was not going to happen. So it was a birthday.
But yeah. Other than that, it's just been kind of a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Working, chilling, watching TV, playing video games.
Therapies.
Yeah.
Getting ready to go back to school because that'll be fun.
Yay.
It's not. I'm actually not looking forward to the whole back to school thing. Kind of am. But I'm kind of not. Like, it's a 50-50 because they've been here for 2 years, 24-7. And so you would think, like, I need a break. Like, go back to school. 5 months summer, whole year out, summer. It's been almost 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But then on the other hand, I'm like, but they've been with me. They've been here and been my friends for almost 2 years. What do I do now?
Fast. Disney, nothing that will be this house.
I'm going to cry. Austin's going to be like, sweet sleep. Nobody to bother me.
I will sleep
me.
In this bed. I will sleep in this chair. I will sleep on this couch.
Nobody to bother me for like 8 hours a day. School. The kids are going back to school.
Oh.
They won't be here. No virtual learning. No yelling at people. No... stuffing things in my face when I realized I just dropped an F-bomb in front of a teacher. It happened a lot. Not from me.
Yes, it did.
Not from me.
What?
It seemed like on his days off while he was playing video, he always took the video games that create violence.
Yeah.
During the school day, while they're on live things where people can hear, because we have to keep Williams, like, he has headphones in. I got to be able to hear the teacher. And here he is in the background, screaming and yelling at Star Wars, lots of F-bombs and motherfuckers and fuck you. While the teacher's like, I'm sorry, can we turn the volume down in the background? can you mute your computer, Liam? Sorry.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh,
and
God.
I was working on school.
Yeah, before. Totally.
Okay.
Not yelling at things.
No, I don't do that. It's not the kind of person I am.
So I'll miss that. My kid drops an F-bomb in your class. It's literally because they've been stuck at home for 2 years. I don't know what to tell you.
So what problem? I don't tell you.
That's where we're at. Okay. Can I throw a quick shout-out?
Sure.
So I just wanted to wish Darlene Brown a happy birthday today, and I hope your surgery went well, and we are all thinking of you.
Yes.
What a shitty day to have surgery on.
Right. I
happy birthday. Glad you got that tumor removed.
Wow. Just put her business out there. Why don't you?
She doesn't listen anyway. It doesn't matter.
Nobody else.
No. It's all right. Seriously, though, we are thinking of you. Hope everything went well, and we love you. And happy birthday.
Happy birthday. All right. So, we're going to go ahead and get started with tonight's show because I have a feeling it's probably going to be a long one.
I don't really even know what it's about, so.
Well, you'll get the hang of it. It'll come to you. So I'm going to let Alex start off.
Okay.
with what we're talking about. We're
talking about animated series. Our favorite animated series from my generation and his generation.
Yeah.
I ought to think mine's better because it's simply...
So we're going to take the favorite,
mm-hmm.
our favorite. We're going to push that to the end. We'll give it a mention in the show, but we'll discuss it at the end because that's going to be the major discussion. We could literally do a whole show just on that topic.
Mm-hmm.
So
on what topic?
Toons.
I mean, on what
topic? Our favorite, what we classify as the best animated series out there.
I thought you were arguing if yours was better than ours because it's not.
So anyway,
we'll get to that here in a minute.
Objectively, it's very bad.
Okay, all right. I'm gonna go ahead and let you guys start.
With what?
With
just naming them.
Well, okay. So we're talking our favorites.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of my favorites was. When I was growing up, one of my favorites was He-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there have been many different iterations throughout the years, the decades. And there was just a new series, new animated series that was released that was set in the universe that wasn't centered around He-Man. But the one I'm talking about is the 80s He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. Now, while I will say that some of the animation was
dated,
because, I mean, you got to look at it.
Animation was dated, the voice work was bad, the names and the places and the things were uncreative.
So, the cartoon He-Man,
yep.
First off, if I remember correctly, started in 84. I'm going to look that up. But it was strictly designed to sell toys. That's all it was.
Everything was in the 80s.
Okay.
That's all it was.
83.
Yeah, that doesn't make it better.
I don't think it's an excuse to make it bad either.
Okay, so we got to look. It starts out in 83. Okay. First off, the animation technology wasn't good back then.
Nope.
So what I'm saying is objectively, your stuff is worse. Every single thing you're about to say is an excuse, not an argument.
It's a nostalgia point.
It is a nostalgia point. But one of the things that I think makes He-Man better than cartoons from your era or even cartoons nowadays, and this goes for a lot of the animated shows that we had.
Those are two different things.
Cartoons.
Cartoons of our era and cartoons now are very different.
Right, but one of the things that I think makes ours better is the fact that our cartoons were focused on teaching lessons. Because at the end of every He-Man, there was a little PSA as to what went on in the show. You know, somebody would come out and be like, okay, this person learned this because of, you know, this was happening and they learned how to do this. And it was teaching kids how to interact with other people.
We have plenty of those.
Name one.
Blue's Clues.
It's not really a cartoon, though.
Yeah, it is.
We talked about this. It's more of a toddler show, opposed to a...
You said shows from our childhood.
Shows
from... When are we going to need to be taught lessons?
Why?
Children.
Right, but He-Man was geared towards, you know, the ages of, like, 6 to 13.
Yeah.
It was a wide-range audience. So it was there to teach all those kids lessons on how to be a good person.
I would argue that Blue's Clues was a very wide range of things. I watched it for many years. Dora, Go Diego Go.
Your experience isn't everybody's experience, though.
His experience wasn't everybody's experience.
No, but most kids...
He didn't say that. He said the show did that.
Yeah.
Those shows did that, too.
Because it was geared towards toddlers and learning shapes and colors. Learning lessons
towards,
about, like,
shapes and colors.
How to interact with people.
They
so,
used,
Dora...
Go Diego Go, they used big words.
Dora and Go Diego Go taught about the...
One taught exploring, one taught animals.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it did
yeah.
not teach you how... It didn't teach you lessons on how to be a good person.
That's
it
not
did,
true.
It taught lessons like that all the time.
So it's kind of like that super simplified version of the cartoons we grew up with where there was always a message in there somewhere. Like G.I. Joe always had a message at the end.
Well, okay, so G.I. Joe was different because G.I. Joe was not centered around their episode.
Okay.
Whereas He-Man and She-Ra were both centered around their episodes, and there was a message in the episode, and then at the end,
that's what I mean. Like they
always, both told you
yeah,
what the message was.
So while there's not a message plug at the end of the show, I will say, I don't know so much about Diego, but Dora definitely, there was always a consistent message in there somewhere.
Yeah, but those He-Man.
But that's a very simplified version because those are literally they're
yeah,
like preschool cartoons.
They are. They're preschool,
preschool cartoons.
They are.
Go
Diego Go, Dora the Explorer.
Go Diego
Blue's
not so much.
Blue.
Dora the Explorer more than Go Diego Go. He was more for the older kids that were kind of moving forward.
Yeah.
Those are Nick Jr. shows.
Yeah.
He-Man
would go on Nick Jr.
Kindergarten and Blue.
No.
Yeah.
No.
He-Man would not go on Nick Jr.
Not Nick Jr. Nick Jr.
would
be for
Cartoon
like,
Network.
Pre-K.
So,
Kindergarten and Blue.
I don't think it would go on Cartoon Network.
It'd totally be a Cartoon Network.
Yeah, it would.
Show.
Cartoon Network doesn't teach lessons at all.
But you don't see it like that. Like, you don't actually get that.
The difference between He-Man and Blue's Clues is He-Man is meant for middle schoolers to, like, first grade. To
look
eighth
up,
grade.
Let me look up ones about
Dora and Blue's Clues.
But what about
meant for children? Like tiny children.
Let me close up.
Like they can't
one.
Use the bathroom by themselves.
So I will admit that those ones are definitely different demographics. But then you look at things like Backyardigans, who definitely had a message and definitely promoted being an actual kid.
Right, yeah, but at that
time,
it's
that
same.
Like,
it's not toddler.
Backyardigans
is not toddler.
He-Man was not geared towards toddlers at all.
No, okay.
And that's what I'm saying.
One that can go up against He-Man without having an argument whether who it's for, Avatar The Last Airbender.
Have you ever watched that one?
It taught you friendships, trusting people, and, like, thinking before you do something.
And
yeah,
I don't give you that. I won't give you Avatar.
They were like, "Wouldn't do that."
It teaches you patience.
Yeah.
Right. It teaches you who, like, the dangers of the world. Not everything is sunshines and rainbows.
Okay.
And then SpongeBob is the opposite side, where it
Aang
teaches you creativity and rainbows.
Aang is always learning a lesson, whether he says it or not. He's always learning a lesson that could reflect.
Powerpuff Kids.
That
could. Girls?
Reflect back onto the
right, locker. Right. The
Powerpuff Girls was definitely that. That was definitely not made for children.
Right.
So it was made for children.
So the biggest difference is that the messages in those cartoons they're more subtle.
I don't know about Powerpuff Girls. He was like, don't fucking do that.
He was a little blunt. I don't know. I guess I'm. Man, I must have got stuck when you guys were cool. Because I don't know any of... I watched Powerpuff Girls a couple times, but it wasn't like... it was definitely not something any of my kids were into, so I never sat and watched it.
Right. Well, see,
Rugrats was kind of like that.
I watched Powerpuff Girls.
I'll give you
Rugrats. I'm a cartoon person. I wouldn't say fanatic, but I am a cartoon person. So I've seen all of these, most of these cartoons. Avatar, I haven't seen.
Literally only one of the ones that holds up today.
Yeah. But going along the same lines, we mentioned G.I. Joe. So what G.I. Joe did is they taught you lessons. They had PSAs after the show that taught you lessons outside of what the what was going on in the show. So the show was designed to bring kids in. Of course, deltoids.
It taught kids to fight terrorists.
Well, but they also gave you life lessons. Like one of the biggest ones that I remember, and I don't know why I remember it, is the down power line. So in at the end of the show, you have these two kids riding a bike, and there's a down power line, and they're getting ready to move it. And then one of the Joes comes up and says, no, you shouldn't touch that. What you should do is you should call an adult, and you should do this, and you should do that.
Yeah,
and
the thing with the difference in our cartoons, though, is that social psychologists learn that you can just put it subtly in the show, and the kids will still pick up on it just as much.
Right, right. And I'm not saying that either one is right or wrong. I'm just saying that's how my generation was taught. It was blunt, it was in your face, and it was, you know, don't do this, don't be stupid, you know. And it was just a different era, you know. And that's why, I don't know, it's funny because when you look at some of these other cartoons that come up and you know how subtle they are and stuff like that, some people still don't get it. You know, I mean, we've got the fucking Tide Pod generation.
That's,
you know,
definitely not my kid.
Yeah.
That was adults. That was full-ass adults that did that.
Yeah. That wasn't
us.
That was your other child.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I'm not actually going to comment right now. I'm going to plead the fifth. I didn't comment. That generation, though, I could see that, I guess. I'm really glad that's done. And that I can buy, like, laundry pods without having them unlocked before I purchase them. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I think a lesson in a cartoon like that isn't necessarily
it doesn't need to be the last 5 minutes.
It doesn't need to be needed in the show for kids to understand what is going on. Like, take Star Wars, Clone Wars, for example, or Young Justice.
Sure.
Young Justice, for example.
Yeah.
It was basically just Teen Titans, but it was just bigger, and they weren't teens. And they would fight people, and then you get a sense of, like, everybody's kind of shady. You can't really trust a certain person.
Right.
You can only trust the people around you.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. But at the same time, don't be a dick and not let anybody in, because then when you don't let anybody in, it just blows up in your face. Like, you're always stuck with a certain like a vibe that you can't really change. When someone new comes in, you might learn something new about what
it teaches you. So, and that's what
when Aqualad came in.
Yeah.
He came in from the ocean. He was like, what do you even do, bro? And then
I swim.
And then he took out his swords and fucked shit up. And they're like, okay, you're
the
leader.
That's one of the things that I really like about all kids' cartoons, no matter what generation, what decade, what genre they come from. One of the biggest things that all of these cartoons have in common is teaching diversity and inclusion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do think that's a big thing of it.
Skeletor is pretty sexist.
But the people around him,
the
outside of the story.
So the good guys were not. And you have the good guys fighting the bad guys. You have the diverse group fighting the group that's not.
It's so weird to put it in the cartoon.
I don't think it is. You guys think it is, but I actually think it's great, especially in right now's generation of little people, because so many adults do not pass those lessons on to their kids.
Well, I mean, we can even look at, we'll take Clone Wars, for example, and we're probably going to be jumping back to this a lot.
We just started watching season 7 again, literally right before the show. One of the biggest diversity and inclusion parts within season 7 especially is, so we have the introduction of the Bad Batch in season 7.
That's the clones, right?
Yes.
Okay.
In the first couple episodes, they're going after, they're trying to find Echo.
Yeah.
Who was thought to be killed in a previous season at the Jedi Temple.
No.
At the Citadel.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. But so one of the best parts of that is when they bring him back, you know, he's different. He's changed. He's no longer the clone or the person that he was.
Yeah.
And the Bad Batch is just like, hey, he's one of us.
Nobody really denies him, though. He has a home whichever way he goes.
Right.
Whether it be the 501st or the Bad Batch. But where he belongs is with the Bad Batch, because they can teach him how to be different and use his special abilities to gain the upper hand.
Right. And if that's not one of the biggest examples of diversity and inclusion in a cartoon, I don't know what is.
Yeah, but that's our cartoon.
Right, but I'm saying all generations have that.
I know.
All of their
cartoons. It's like putting the N-word in the cartoon that the bad guy says, and then being like, yeah, it was okay because the bad guy said it. And our writers wrote it, but the bad guy said it. Like, just
so
because it's inclusion.
What
like,
you're talking about, like with Skeletor being sexist and whatnot, and
yeah.
He's a bad guy. It doesn't have to be the N-word or sexist or whatever. It could just be something that's not right.
That's what I'm saying.
And then
I'm
the heroes go...
I think our cartoons do it a lot better.
Yeah, heroes go
they
and they are like, hey, that's not right. And he's like, whatever. And they're like, right thing.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And then it's like, oh,
okay,
that was wrong. End of the show.
Yeah. But the thing is you got to look at it. It's two different generations. I mean, it's
that's, yeah, that's what we're
40 years apart. Like, literally, there's 40 years in between He-Man and the Clone Wars. 30 years. 30-plus years. So, they, while the subtlety has changed,
mm-hmm.
like, my generation was not as subtle.
Are you
the
not
message,
as subtle? I literally just watched the Bugs Bunny episode that had, like, swastikas. That was weird.
That was...
I know, it was generation before us, but still.
No, it was Daffy. Daffy Duck.
No, they both have it.
Yeah.
Probably.
Donald Duck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
You said Daffy.
Oh, Donald.
Donald Duck.
Yeah.
One's Warner Brothers, one's Disney.
Still, like,
yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, there's obviously a huge generational jump in what is appropriate and what's not.
Right.
As far as, like,
know,
the bad guy.
I don't know if it was ever appropriate. Not on Disney's side, is fine. I don't know what happened in that episode. I don't know if it was ever appropriate for Daffy to be a part of the Nazi regime.
You mean Donald?
Donald, yeah.
Yeah. No, and I agree with that, and that was probably why it was never aired.
It was aired.
It
yeah.
Aired.
While it never aired again.
It was rerun a lot.
But
it
was also...
It wasn't aired recently.
Yeah, it was from the 40s, so...
Yeah.
You know, obviously they aired
it
multiple times then, but...
Well, yeah.
It was on TV. They did not immediately take it off. It was, like, a couple decades of being
okay.
Well,
it's because, you know, decades change and people change and kids change. You know, what was okay, and I'm not saying that any of it is right or wrong. What is okay for one generation may not be okay for the next generation.
But it's not a may not be, it's a it shouldn't never
have been. Well, I'm not talking about that particular
right.
episode. I'm talking about like everything. Like
my point was that things that were appropriate and acceptable in one generation and the message that was coming across or not coming across in that generation would not be the same now.
Right.
Like we would obviously not show that now.
No, not that particular cartoon.
Yeah.
But there are still cartoons that, you know, are from our generation that are still okay to show today. You know, He-Man, G.I. Joe,
Transformers.
Transformers.
Yeah.
Mask, Thundercats.
What's wrong with my cartoons?
Because you can't think of any girl cartoons.
Strawberry Shortcake.
Strawberry Shortcake, Rainbow Bright.
Heathcliff.
Heathcliff, Garfield.
Yeah.
You said Rainbow Bright?
Yes. And I love
Rainbow Bright was a cartoon. It was
Look it up.
Adult.
Rainbow Bright was
yeah.
the best.
She had some of the best movies. I only know this because I had a sister.
I had it all.
And I watched them.
They were the best.
I watched My Little Pony.
They were the best, too.
Yeah. Strawberry Shortcake.
Cabbage Patch Kids.
Popples.
Oh.
You didn't think I knew about that, did you?
Munchie Cheese.
Smurfs did you ever, have
Smurfs was our generation.
I did have a Tamagotchi. I killed it 5 times. No, you hit the reset button in the back.
Yeah.
I bought a new one, I think.
But, so one of my favorite cartoons, like my absolute favorite cartoon from my generation, which was the literal start of Japanese animation in the U.S., was made it big. I mean, it started the Japanese animation explosion, was Robotech.
I didn't watch that.
I don't think Robotech was. What about Gundam.
That was way after Robotech.
Was it?
Yeah, that was like a decade after Robotech.
Robotech's old.
Robotech started in 84. It was the start of the explosion of Japanese animation. I'm not saying that there weren't some before that, but that was the most popular.
In America.
In America. That's what started it in America. That's what I said. It started the Japanese animation explosion in America. It was based off of the Japanese cartoon, the Macross Saga. The first one was called Macross, and then you had ones after that. It was changed to Robotech.
Gundam's older.
Huh?
Gundam is older.
When did Gundam start?
79.
Mobile Suit Gundam?
Mobile Suit Gundam, original work.
When did it come to
the
U.S.?
First one was called Gundam 00979.
When did it come to the U.S.?
I don't know.
If we look at...
When did Gundam come to the U.S.? Okay, Google.
I don't think I've ever heard any of those shows referenced in the explosion of anime culture, Japanese animation in America.
Yeah, but you were born in, like, what, 2002?
Yeah. But, like...
I would say that Pokemon was the first.
Pokemon or Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
Dragon Ball was huge.
The Pokemon and Dragon Ball both came way after Robotech.
Yeah, because I don't think it exploded in the 80s.
No,
they did.
It exploded.
They did with boys, yeah.
Japanese animation, yeah.
Because
it started.
Robotech was, like, the big robot that...
So Robotech was about... this alien fortress that landed on Earth, and at the time Earth was in a big war, so all the nations came together, and so the fortress gave them robotechnology, which allowed their planes to transform into big robots.
Yeah, because my brother always like that.
The Zentradi.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, obviously things like, I would even venture to say things like Power Rangers, which I know it's not a cartoon, but still, I think is relevant in the same kind of cultural area of cartoons.
Right, but
like,
again, Power Rangers didn't come to the U.S. until the 90s.
Was it the
90s? What is wrong?
Power Rangers?
Yeah.
It started, it had American movies in the 70s. That's when the Power Rangers Turbo came out in 74.
What? I need you to fact check.
Yeah, I have the movie.
I know you have the movie.
Power Rangers first episode.
Power Rangers
1993, original release.
Yeah.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, 1993.
Yeah.
Mighty Morphin was not the first one.
It might not have been the first one, but...
But that's when it came to the
U.S.
U.S.,
yeah.
Macross or Robotech literally started the.
Wait, that's true.
Okay.
Robotech came to the U.S., but the boom started in the 90s.
I don't agree with that. I think it started in the 80s, and then we just built from there.
The ones that started in the 90s.
I got it. Dragon Ball. I'll stand by. I'm just waiting for him to finish typing.
Were Dragon Ball and Astro Boy. Those were the ones that...
Astro Boy. Now, wasn't, like, so Speed Racer, was that not also... That wasn't American, was it?
No. Speed Racer was anime, but...
Because that was pretty big, too, right?
Came out in the 90s.
Gosh, I'm so old, I can't go back far enough. Because I thought Speed Racer was much earlier.
No, that one was much earlier.
Yeah.
So the first episode date was 67.
Yeah, because...
But it didn't come to the U.S. until later.
How much later?
I'm trying to...
Later...
Because I know that was something that we watched. Or my brother and I.
TV series also only lasted 1 year.
Really?
Yeah. Damn.
Really?
It
premiered on American television in the summer of 67.
And it ended in 67.
But we watched it a lot.
Yeah.
As a thing. Like, regardless, I do remember growing up watching Speed Racer, even though, which is weird that it wasn't more popular, because we watched a lot of it.
Right,
It only had a shit show.
My brother watched Robotech too, and he was watching Robotech from overseas, so No, he would get videos sent from the States to overseas.
Watched it on British television.
Yeah.
On a British cable network that came through. Sky TV.
But, though, you know.
Still. I mean, it's...
3 seasons of Dragon. That's what I got.
3 seasons?
Yeah, the third Robotech 4 of the new generation. 85.
Yeah, so you had Robotech, then you had the Masters, and then you had the Invid.
So
the new generation.
85 episodes.
Yeah. Which is not really one season. We can't do 85 episodes. Yeah.
Yeah, but also, shows back then used to do like 101 episodes. Dragon Ball's first season has like 150 episodes.
One Piece has like almost 1,000 episodes. Not the first season, but
it only has like 4 seasons. Yeah.
Yeah. But still, it was one of those cartoons that was different from the rest of the ones that we saw, because it was, so a lot of the cartoons in the 80s, when we were growing up, all of the episodes were just one-shot episodes. Like, you could miss two or three episodes.
And still know what was going
nothing
on.
Nothing.
Yeah.
With Robotech.
That's our Dora. I'm telling you guys.
No, it's a toddler show. We're moving on. The thing with Robotech is it was a continuing saga each and every episode. Like, you could not miss an episode because you would be lost.
But I think the same happened with, like, Mask and Transformers.
They were all one-shot episodes. Some of them, so they would have...
Transformers had a running story.
It had a...
Because they would always do the previously on.
No, not on Transformers. They had one or two episodes that were like two-part episodes or three-part episodes.
Yeah, Thundercats like that too.
Yeah.
They did like Thundercats.
So did G.I. Joe, and so did Transformers, and so did like Silverhawks and stuff like that, where you had two or three-part episodes. But it wasn't a running story from the very first episode to the very last. Whereas Robotech was that. Robotech was one continuous story. If you missed one episode, you could be lost. You honestly could be lost.
That's how Avatar was.
Yeah.
Avatar would do. There was a couple episodes where they traveled to literally three places in an episode.
Yeah. And Robotech was one of the first cartoons in our generation that actually showed, kind of showed the death of a main character. Like, one of the main characters was killed off. And, like, if you missed that episode, you were lost. Like, that was one of the most devastating episodes of the series to a kid, because up until then, I mean, he was the best fighter pilot. And then his brother, so the show, the Macross saga focuses on his brother, Rick Hunter. Dan Fokker is the one that dies. But we're kind of seeing Rick Hunter kind of in the shadow of his brother, because he takes over his squadron, and, you know, coming out of the shadow of his brother. There's also love interests in Robotech. It was a totally immersive cartoon for kids. It was a soap opera for kids, because, I mean, Rick Hunter had two love interests.
Yeah, I mean, whenever it comes to anime, we do have quite the compilation of those.
Yeah.
We do have One Piece. One Piece definitely is basically what you're just referring to.
Right.
But not robot stuff.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it was. It was pirate stuff, but same shit.
Yeah.
Just couldn't miss an episode, but there were a fuck ton of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that's one of the reasons why it's my favorite, because it's not boring. You know, with the rest of the episodes, the rest of the cartoons, you wanted to watch them as a kid because you loved the action in them.
I'd say One Piece definitely has some boring episodes. Naruto is definitely the one that has,
I mean,
like,
with 900 some episodes, some of those have got to be filler.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Oh, yeah, plenty of those are filler, just like Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Robotech had their filler episodes, too, where they would focus on a non-essential character in the grand scheme of things, but an essential character to one of the other main characters.
Naruto would definitely be a lot more of what you're referring to, just with that continuing story. But, I mean, that's, you can't really put, like, oh, Robotech and then G.I. Joe and Transformers, because Robotech is Japanese animation.
Right.
They do it differently already.
Right. And
so,
I mentioned it because it was,
like,
my generation.
At the time of, like, Naruto and stuff, we had similar shows to yours that were American shows, and it was like, okay, yeah, they already did that next episode, and, like, that's just how American shows did it.
Yeah.
Compared to Japanese shows.
Yeah. Yeah, they were one-off episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, where everything was resolved within that 20-minute...
Yeah, at the same time that...
Animated time.
Not at the same time, but at the same time relative that Naruto was around, we had Teen Titans. Teen Titans was that way, but it was, like... Every single episode was like, oh, okay, they did that. Besides, like, the last couple, because it was all one streamlined story.
Yeah, I would say in the second season of the Teen Titans, not Teen Titans Go, but Teen Titans.
Yeah. I wouldn't say Teen Titans Go as much.
No, it's a stupid show anyway. But in the second season of Teen Titans, that's where they actually started having a running storyline.
When introduced Red X.
Yeah,
when
it started getting serious.
Red X.
Yeah.
They had some weird fucking episodes. They had the British one. The British one was always crazy. With that guy.
Anyway. Think. To kind of move on a little bit.
Yeah.
One of my other favorite shows. It kind of follows the... Everything gets wrapped up, but there's still a story.
Mm-hmm.
Adventure Time.
Okay.
It's got a lot of... It had more episodes and seasons than I thought. But some of these seasons were shorter than others.
It either has 8 or 11.
I don't know. I think it's like 9.
I think that's
bullshit. I don't know. But it never...
when something happened in Adventure Time, it wasn't like Family Guy or Simpsons where it just reset and everything was fine the next episode.
Yeah.
Like, something happened, and then the next episode, it would just be a new adventure, but that thing still happened.
Okay.
Like, Finn, spoilers, if anybody cares.
What season spoiler? I only have seen season 6.
Grass Sword.
Oh, okay. We're
you know what happens after Grass Sword?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, so Finn breaks his sword, his dad's sword, and he needs a new sword because he's a hero of the land, and he goes to this magic shop, and he's like, hey, this is Grass Sword. So he's like, okay, he takes it, and it wraps around his arm, and it doesn't ever come off. Until one episode where the Grass Sword kind of morphs into him, like his arm and stuff, and it gets so big and just pops, and his arm comes off.
That was a fucking weird episode.
And a flower grows out.
Okay.
And the next episode, he didn't just have an arm.
Right.
He had a flower on his arm for like a couple episodes.
Huh.
But then ended up getting it.
Did he have a robot arm?
No.
No?
Nope.
When did he get a robot arm?
Last season.
Oh, okay. Then I didn't worry about it. I knew about that too.
I kind of explained that weird. So the Grass Sword took his arm and made a version of himself.
Yeah.
And then the flower grew. And then, spoilers after that.
Yeah, but basically, Adventure Time is the biggest world-building cartoon ever.
Yeah.
Like, because they had this entire map to explore as well. And so anytime they did something one place, it would slowly grow into this problem or solution over there
mm-hmm.
while they're over here.
There's actually a snail that shows up in about every episode or every other episode. That's the Lich, the villain of the show.
Okay.
And he's like, just somewhere. Heroes don't like, nobody acknowledges it, but he's there. And so he just keeps building and building and building and building until it's revealed that's the Lich.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was already revealed that that was the Lich because...
No, the snail.
He snuck into the snail's body. And then
right. The heroes realized, oh, that's the Lich.
Oh,
that's not really a snail.
Yeah.
But
that was a good season. That was season 3 through 4. And then in season 5, there was the Lich show.
The Lich was earlier than that.
The Lich the first time was earlier than that, yeah.
Yeah, but when
the snail was like the entire...
When he became Billy?
Season. Yeah.
Yeah, that was like season 4 or 5.
That's what I said.
Because Grass Sword is season 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, season 5 is Lich Billy.
And then they're only like 11 minutes long. Just build and build and build and build and build, build.
Yeah, first season had a lot, though, because they didn't know how to split it up.
Yeah, first season was kind of like that. Like, they do an adventure, everything's fine the next day.
Mm.
A lot of episodes are like that, but something will always happen that alters the world.
So it builds on itself.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. And that's one thing, sorry, I lost train of thought. That's like my favorite type of storytelling.
Yeah.
Because every episode is a new adventure.
Yeah, that's why it's called Adventure Time.
Right. Well, because I've never seen that, that particular cartoon. But there's, you know, there's a lot of TV shows and stuff like that out there that are
world building, but
yeah,
at the same time things are okay.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, and I like that because if something happens in one episode, you expect it in the next.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know how many times Skeletor got his ass kicked, but yet he still kept coming back. You would think after 3 seasons, he would have won.
Yeah.
You would think.
But
I think actual explanation is trying to keep the show going. And
yeah.
With Skeletor, as He-Man, fight Skeletor and He-Man, fight.
Yeah, and that's how all of the cartoons were from the 80s. I mean,
yeah.
G.I. Joe's the same thing. Cobra has some scheme to get money or take over the world. G.I. Joe comes in and stops them.
Adventure Time learned that lesson quick, though, because it was always Finn and Jake versus the Ice King. The Ice King was the villain.
Yeah.
And they were just always beating up on the Ice King, because the Ice King was the villain. He'd steal princesses and stuff.
And then they were like, okay, this is kind of getting old. Let's flesh out Ice King a little bit. So they did. And then he didn't really become the villain anymore. He was just kind of a nuisance. Like, what are you doing, man? Like, stop what you're doing.
Yeah. Eventually, he just became the coolest guy in the fucking show.
Yeah, he eventually became, not like the main character, but like, he became a helpful part of the overall story.
He was like the neighboring co-star that came on every episode.
Yeah. And then the main villain was like the Lich. And
the thing that you're not going to say.
There's some other ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one, that show does it right.
Yeah.
That's why people miss it. It's because that one fucking...
And it had like...
That would hit hard.
The ending, it was like happy.
I haven't seen it yet.
So this is how the ending ends. Everybody knows it's a sad ending, but like
whenever Gumball ended, I wasn't gut-wrenching for it.
No, because this actually had like a story to end on.
Yeah,
Making the Roar of Gumball's like, oh, it's our last episode. Family Guy will be the same way, Simpsons will be the same way. They're gonna end at some point.
Yeah,
they're either just gonna drop off the face of the earth, or they'll be like, this is our final episode.
Well, I think like Simpsons and Family Guy, because they are so embedded into the culture, they're going to have some kind of massive...
They'll have a season finale special, like hour and a half special, but it's not going to be what Adventure Time did.
No.
Or what the Clone Wars did.
Right.
It's going to be laughs and giggles and, hey guys, thanks for watching the past 20 odd 30 freaking years.
Yeah.
But like Adventure Time, it was like, this is the end. Star Wars Clone Wars, this is the end. Even though there's story after it, but this is the end.
This is the end of our story.
I mean, Adventure Time does too, but it's not as expensive as Star Wars.
Right. I'm actually pretty excited to finish Adventure Time because I want to watch that new one with Marceline.
It's just one episode. It's just one episode with them.
It's just one episode.
Yeah, it's called Adventure Time Obsidian, not Adventure Time Princess Bogue and Marceline.
Well, I just
It's the world being told through BMO. BMO explains everything to these two new heroes, and it's only like 5 episodes. It's a limited, or it's not a TV show, it's just a series.
Oh, well, I'm still excited to see
them. It's pretty cool. But, yeah, it's something else. You can't really explain it, because I don't think there's ever been another show that has done something of that extent. Because when they made Adventure Time, they're like, well, when we end this, we gotta end it with a bang.
Yeah.
And so when they ended it, they were like, let's do this. So they did it.
Okay.
It's hard to explain when somebody hasn't watched a show that's been over 3 years.
Hey, dude, I was literally about to say, I need to make my long list and short list, because I've seen people do that, and I just forget shows are a thing, and then I'm like, oh, but I cared about it.
They're 10 minutes. I watched the whole 10, what did you say, 10 seasons?
Yep.
Watched the whole 10 seasons. While making props, and it took me like a week. I just had it on all the time. I'd watch it and watch it and do.
I gotta watch it
with this, and then I'll watch it, and it's just boom, over. They go quick, which is sad. Maybe sad. I was like one of the only shows I like teared up. I was like, what the fuck? I want more. They could have gone more, but
they could have gone forever, but we would have. It wouldn't have been as cool as a finale.
You make me want to watch it.
It's a fantastic show. On shows that I would recommend people watching, Clone Wars, Adventure Time, and Justice.
Yeah.
Okay. I will say that, so you mentioned Young Justice. So Young Justice was a show that I originally watched on Netflix.
I watched it on Cartoon Network, and then on Netflix, and then on HBO.
I watched it when it came out.
Yeah, that's, well, I mean, I watched it on Cartoon Network. Then again on Netflix. And then I haven't seen season 3 yet. I just never got around to it. I want to.
So I've seen season 3.
I know I haven't.
I haven't watched it.
Yeah. I need to go back and watch it again. So Young Justice is one of those cartoons, like the Clone Wars, that...
It's pretty structured like Clone Wars.
It is. But so it's one of those cartoons that transcends generations. Because...
Well, it kind of does.
Yeah, I love cartoons. We all know that.
They're easy to watch.
They are, and they're fun.
And some of them have freaking amazing stuff. Oh, Last Airbender I'd recommend too. That's an amazing one.
Okay.
But they just have, they're simple to watch because they are for kids, but some of them have complex stories in them that adults would understand, like Clone Wars, like Young Justice,
yeah.
Like Last Airbender. But you just watch them for what they are. There's no, like, deep inner meaning, and you just got to flesh it out. No, it's literally, that's what happens. This is what happens. This is the result of what happens. Next episode.
Right. But the Young Justice is one of those, it's one of those cartoons. It's one of those storylines that each episode builds off of each other.
Yeah.
And it has one-off episodes in it.
Yeah.
But it all builds up to each other to a final storyline at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
That leads into the next season.
Yeah. Like we've all seen one and two.
Yeah.
The season two finale, which isn't really accurate in my opinion, but whatever. Barry Allen and Wally West are running. I think it's also Impulse is there, too.
I think so.
And, yes, Barry Allen, Impulse, Bart Allen, and Wally West, they're all running to counteract this storm, but Wally can't keep up because he's not fast enough.
Yeah.
And he disintegrates into wherever. Now, Artemis, who was dating Wally, heartbroken, blah, 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 whatever. I won't get into all that because that can be all explained and whatnot. But, at the end of the season.
So they were, I think you're actually kind of talking about season three?
No. Because that was season two. At the end of season two. They were going around the thing. And then it ended with...
Because she was, they were...
It ended with, I think like the final, one of the final shots was Aqualad being promoted to the Justice League.
Yeah.
Nightwing. And, no, Nightwing and Aqualad were already, like, wishy-washy back and forth. And then it, Wally West, or Bart Allen walks up to Artemis in the Kid Flash costume and is like, hey, are you okay with me doing this? And she's like, yeah, he would want you to do that. You are more than capable of being a Kid Flash. Go
yeah.
Forward. So that's how that ends. And then season three, they deal with.
Yeah, because season two was when...
Artemis becomes Bronze Tiger.
Yeah.
Or not Bronze Tiger. Something Tiger.
Yeah.
But she's undercover and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then she just takes up the mantle. She becomes Artemis at the end of season two, but then she flips back to being her undercover alias.
And that helps Bronze Tiger.
Yeah, he's another villain.
Yeah, that's what she switches to.
But no, Bronze Tiger is a completely different villain than what she is.
I don't remember what season.
Tigress.
Yeah. I don't remember what season it was that, I think it might have been at the end of season two, that the Justice League was charged with crimes against the universe.
That was season one.
Okay. Okay. Because I didn't want to spoil it if...
No, that was season one because Batman and some other people, they got taken and stuff happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got taken at the end of season one and then they come back at season two. Yeah, because season... I have to watch them again because they all kind of run together.
Yeah, the season one villain is...
The Light.
Yeah, is led by a guy who transcends time. But they deal with him, and then season two villains is also the Light.
Yeah.
But led by different people. And then season three, again, the Light.
Oh, God, what is his name?
Oh.
No, the guy that has basically lived forever.
Yeah. He wears, like, a trench coat and stuff.
Yeah, he's got a scar on his face.
Yeah, it's something...
Oh,
Taylor or something like that.
It's some basic name.
Taylor sounds pretty basic.
Oh my goodness, what is his name?
I'm looking it up.
But, because he started out as like a, almost like a caveman. And we see him in the future, because he's a regular villain within the DC universe.
Yeah.
What is his name?
Man, I'm already feeling this food.
That's it. Savage.
I'm already feeling this food going through me.
Nice. We're very happy for you.
Okay. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. Let me come back. Start on the Clone Wars. And newer cartoons.
Behind the screen, we'll be right back.
Strip it down, it's just you and me. You cut me off and say you're tired of talking. Not as if we can't agree, but you've lost your will to fight. You're packing up all your things to leave. These will be our last words. Then the chance will be lost, and I ain't too proud.
Too
if you love me, you would hold me and never let me go. If you love me, you would tell me. Be alone. If you cared at all, you would stop and never go. But you just turned your back to me and said, I guess I don't.
Welcome back to Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. If you would like to talk to us, you can call in 718-664-9735 or hit us up on the Facebook Live feed. So tonight we are talking about some of our favorite animated TV shows. And so a couple that I forgot to mention.
I forgot to mention last too.
That I'm just going to give a brief mention to because I know that none of you, you know, younger ones have seen them. A big one that was only on for about a year was Brave Star. That's to say, no, you haven't. We mentioned Transformers. Inspector Gadget was one that we had as a kid that I watched all the time. Mask was one. Mask was actually a really, really innovative cartoon series because, number one, it was about, you know, this group of guys that they weren't government sanctioned in any way. They were a private company, but they had these masks that would go over the head that had special abilities that, and these vehicles that would change from like a Jeep into a boat or a Camaro into a jet or a helicopter that would change into a jet. And one of the oddest things, especially because of the time period, was that the main protagonist in it, the main character, was a single father. We never, you know, heard why he was a single father. But he had a son, and his son had a robot friend that, you know, would always tag along and always get in trouble and stuff like that. But it was weird because it was, you know, a single father. It was just one of those different cartoons. And then, of course, there was Starcom, which was literally to just sell toys.
What I'm noticing is your generation cartoons were made to make toys.
Uh-huh.
Ours were made because they knew they could have the longevity of people watching them.
So ours, so you have to look at the different generation. With our generation, we played with toys more than your generation does. And the generation after you.
My generation plays with toys.
Yeah, me and Austin played with toys.
As children, we played with toys.
Yeah.
We were toy kids.
We still play with toys.
So do you.
So do I, yeah. But
I don't. But
all of it was marketed for kids as kids. Now, you know, the cartoons of your generation were a little more intellectual than ours were. Ours were geared simply to sell toys. Transformers, Mask, He-Man, Starcom, G.I. Joe, they were literally all created to sell toys.
Yes.
We had a lot of good shows. I'm looking at ours right now.
So something that neither of us, and nobody can claim,
Okay. Is
Batman animated series.
I would say that's more your generation.
It was 92. It's kind of in that.
That's millennial.
Yeah, that's right at the end of my generation.
Yeah.
Because I didn't start high school until 92. But I still watched it because I loved it. Probably one of the... So that and Spider-Man, 94 Spider-Man, were...
The X-Men shows... another one in there.
Yeah, the 90s X-Men. Those were right at the cusp of, I say the cusp of my childhood, but I'm still a child at heart. But they were right when I was entering high school. So, and they were more of the continuing story with not a continuing story, a one-off with an underlying story in some of them.
Yeah. Batman definitely had a overall story because, I mean, I had the New Adventures of Batman and Batman Beyond, which we can claim because it's 2004.
Yeah.
At some point, I'm going to go out on a rant.
But yeah, the Batman cartoon, Justice League Unlimited and Justice League,
mm-hmm.
those were pretty good. That's the same era. Not era. Those came out in 2000 and then 2002.
Same generation.
No, what I was trying to say was
they're the same era.
Same characters.
Yeah.
It's still the same story.
Yeah.
Same universe. But I think DC in general, the massive animated following. I would compare it to Marvel's live-action presence.
Yeah.
DC's animated presence. I would almost willing to bet it's better than Marvel's live-action. But Marvel's Marvel. They got billions of dollars to do whatever. But
I'm going to save these three images just so I remember. I forget much.
We also had Disney XD, which Austin brought up a little before, or added during break.
Yeah.
They had some amazing shows.
So I was looking it up. Disney shows were also, because I was trying to think of, like, what did we have as Disney? Disney had American Dragon, Phineas and Ferb, The Emperor's New School, Kim Possible, The Stitch Show, I don't remember what it's called, Lilo and Stitch. It's like,
yeah.
Finding the 200
yeah.
things.
Also had Danny Phantom, didn't it?
No, that's Nick.
No, I really did like Danny Phantom. Danny Phantom, Jerry Neutron. Nick was honestly probably way more of my childhood than I. Cartoon Network definitely hit hard too. Ed, Ed, and Eddie. But if we look at the comparison between Nick and Disney, like, we definitely have a split. Like,
the only show that
Austin was a Nick kid.
The only show that the three of us, as our generation, me, Alex, and Joby, agree is not allowed to be on any of our lists is Johnny Bravo.
Really?
Because,
dude, my
man,
brother loved himself some Johnny Bravo.
Such a man. I never said that because I've never seen it.
You've
well,
never
you,
seen
you
it?
You had never seen
so
it.
So cliche.
Joey and I sadly had seen it. It was not a good show.
You're
not
the man you think to watch
very,
it.
It was very...
Because I hated Johnny Bravo.
Was
he was very cliche.
Extremely sexist.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
gross.
It was so... I don't know how it got on.
It was kind of gross. I'm not going to lie.
Kind of a stupid show.
Oh, he was stupid.
He
that
was
the point. He was
yeah.
like the ultimate muscular, dumb, blonde male.
Yeah.
Just goes
to
prove no
that you can pitch anything to anybody and be like, yeah. They're like, yeah, it's this guy. He's got muscles. We will look up to him.
Man,
like,
my brother.
When they made it, it was like, hey.
My brother is 7 years older than me and loved that show.
Yeah, Johnny Bravo.
I could stand on
Camp Lazlo and Samurai Jack.
I actually like Camp Lazlo.
No, Samurai
Yeah.
Samurai Jack was a good...
That was more of a... Oh, and now it's an adult-ish show. Because it's violence. But
apparently
like,
at some point it switched over.
Yeah, I mean, Star Wars Clone Wars has more violence than that, but...
Yeah.
Should you guys leave out things like... Simpsons and Family Guy. And
yeah, that's not really.
So those are animated, but those are prime time.
Those
okay.
are adult animated.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not,
Austin
really
grew up watching some Family Guy with me
well,
all night.
Good, Alex.
Then again, I and Austin's experiences are different than 8 billion other children.
You know, Family Guy.
Yeah.
Terrible show.
You loved it as a kid.
Let's talk about it.
You loved it as a kid.
Yeah, because it's made for
6-year-olds. He's woke.
Whatever.
Family Guy is still hilarious.
There's like, they make like 2 good jokes a season.
It's still good.
I
know.
I still like it.
Look, I have literally
there's
seen...
There's a point where Family Guy fell off, but it's still entertaining to have on in the background.
It is.
I would rather have anything in the song in the background.
Now, see, I love watching Family Guy, like, right before I go to bed. Just because it's one of those shows that you can just tune out to.
It's the same exact thing for me with Big Bang Theory.
I fall asleep to that too. You know, I love the series, and I've watched it again from beginning to end on HBO.
No, no.
Yeah. And I probably started.
It's one of those shows.
We've seen 50 episodes of Big Bang Theory in my whole life.
It's such a good show.
Super funny because I got him into that show.
It's like Seinfeld. You take it with a
lot. No, it's actually way better than Seinfeld because I grew up with Seinfeld.
I don't know, Big Bang Theory never. I love Friends. I don't think I've laughed at Big Bang Theory like I have at family. So I don't. Yes, I believe 96. They were like, hey, what if we put a laugh behind every joke?
Did you know that all of those laugh tracks are from people from the 60s and they're all dead now?
That's not true because I literally sat in on Home Improvement and created part of the laugh track.
That was a mainstream one.
Out of all the people in the world that have been to those viewings,
Tim the Tool Man,
why do all the
laugh
tracks sound the same? There's some people out there with some stupid laughs.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Because they're able to edit it.
There's not one person that's like, what the hell was that? Just like obnoxiously loud. You never hear it. It's always ha ha ha.
It's the same.
You know what they do? They walk in front of you with signs, and then they tell you to stop. So even if you thought it was super funny, you better hide your face in your shirt and shut up.
Nobody ever thought it was.
Clank.
Yeah.
So, but no.
We need that laugh track soundboard now.
I'm going to get one.
That'd be horrible.
Every 2 seconds.
Because he would be pushing the button on himself the whole time.
Jokes we don't laugh at, we don't get. He just.
Oh, somebody's laughing.
We have a regular show too.
For the love of everything.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Would you please shut your yappa?
What about.
This kid don't like Ed and Eddie.
What? You're weird. What about,
let's see, it's hard, they all have the same name.
The dog
that guy,
show.
The tall one. He was funny.
Yeah, he was
but like, I never liked the short,
Ed, the yellow shirt one. I always thought he was an asshole. The big one's Ed, and then double D.
He was an asshole, that was the point.
Yeah. But the other two were fine, like I didn't have a problem with them.
Yeah, Ed, Eddie.
But literally every other character in that show, and even the show's animation, I don't like.
What about Rocco?
Rocco's Modern Life.
Rocco's like millennial. Rocco's not ours.
Oh, I thought it was.
Rocco's Modern Life?
Yeah.
No, that's before that.
Before
their time.
I never watched Rocco.
What about Courage the Cowardly Dog?
Courage is good. I wasn't trying to go through a list of
what about Cat Dog?
I was going to let you guys talk.
No, we talked about that.
Cat Dog is sort of ours, but
it wasn't good.
We don't play that one.
What is that one called?
Foster's Home. You used to watch the hell out of that.
That one was good. Yeah,
for Imaginary Friends. And then Billy and Mandy's Misadventures.
What about the one with Dexter? You said Dexter, right?
Dexter's Laboratory?
Yeah.
I love Dexter's Laboratory.
Dexter's Laboratory.
It
reminded me a lot of Pinky and the Brain.
So Pinky and the Brain.
That's right at the end of ours. Well, you used to watch it.
Pinky and the Brain. Animaniacs.
You watched a lot of.
Definitely not ours, but it was good.
Yeah,
that was right at the cusp of ours.
I don't understand. What is this?
Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
I have no idea what that is. The girl with pink hair and the girl with blue hair.
I've seen that maybe once, but I won't.
Why is it among the most popular shows?
Because it's...
Is that one, the kids next door?
This one.
I know.
I was just looking at it.
Kids Next Door?
Yes.
Benton. Benton was a good one.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, there's one.
This guy here with some Ben 10. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I had the Omnitrix.
So did he.
Awesome. I can picture to this day how it clashed together because I was like, what did they do? It was like half, like they had the strap
And then there was a peg that came up from the strap.
There was
a gap. And then there was a thing. And you put it in and then pulled it. And then plastic. And sometimes
one of those ones that we had that was like your guys's whenever we watched them was My Life as a Teenage Robot. Amazing show.
Yes.
When I was a kid.
Yes.
I went to go watch it back and I was like,
This is horrible.
And it was also very dated. It was like, oh no, they can't see me. I'm a girl. Girls can't play with boys.
Yeah.
Little cringeworthy.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
It was pretty weird. Now. Chowder.
Like Chowder. That's kind of cool.
You ever watch Chowder?
I've seen like one or two episodes.
Rada.
Okay, so we've got 36 minutes left. We have to talk about Clone Wars.
I don't think you have to put a timer for you to talk about it.
No, but
you don't want to miss it.
Exactly 51 minutes left.
No, I don't want to miss out on it because it's one of those animated series that appeals to Star Wars fans, young and old. It appeals to kids that, you know, may not have liked the live action. And it is truly an animated show that transcends all generations.
I will admit that, because I don't like Star Wars too much. I did like Clone Wars a lot.
So
you can just connect with any character in the show.
Oh, yeah. In one form or another. You actually connected with all of them.
Yeah. One of the big ones that people like, Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm.
She still tainted for me just a little bit. Because seasons 1-3, I was like, oh, my God, shut
Yeah,
I wanted to punch her in the throat.
Any underdog effect, it's going to be the same thing with Damien.
But they switched it around, say, season 1 and 2 was her annoying part. Because halfway through season 3, they totally changed the show a little bit. Made it a bit more mature and stuff.
Yeah.
They recognized their audience. They grew up with their audience.
Yeah.
She kind of became this more relatable character, like, I was that annoying little kid that people wanted to punch in the throat.
Yeah.
But you just connected with her in a way that you don't connect to Anakin Skywalker or to Obi-Wan, but you follow her, and it's not just about her. It's really about Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Rex.
Yeah.
Those are the big three, and then Ahsoka comes in with the number 4. And then you follow these characters, and you follow their journey, and then there's other... It's the most we've ever explored the Star Wars universe. And it's just all in our face, and we've heard about this first time. Oh, it's the Clone Wars. Back in the New Hope.
Yeah.
And we're like, what is the Clone Wars? And then episode 2, it was like, oh, it's just clones.
Yeah.
And then the Tarkovsky Clone Wars came out, and we're like, oh, the Clone Wars. And episode 3 is like, oh, the Clone Wars is ended. And then they came out with Star Wars The Clone Wars, and we're like, okay, this is The Clone Wars.
Yeah.
This is, like, before it was like one or two battles and the war's over, this was a war. A war. It affected almost every planet in the galaxy. Even in the Outer Rim, it affected every planet.
So one of the things that space. So one of the things that I really liked about
even that space,
The Clone Wars, is, and you mentioned it. So back in A New Hope, when it came out, and you know, Luke was like, "Oh no, my father was a spice freighter." But then Obi-Wan's like, "No, I fought with him in the Clone Wars." And you're right. So the Clone Wars was this pivotal moment
we never saw
within the Star Wars universe that we knew nothing about.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, you read any of the novels or anything like that. But then all of a sudden, here comes George Lucas and Dave Filoni, who was picked, hand-picked by George Lucas to take on the Clone Wars.
Who also worked on The Last Airbender. Not Lucas, Dave Filoni.
Yeah, Dave Filoni. It's such a
he worked on
an
The
amazing,
Last Airbender. And
yeah.
He didn't do every episode, but he had his touch here and there on each episode, or on other episodes.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. It's just...
It really fleshed out these characters that we loved in the movies. You know,
yeah.
It gave us a personal touch to Anakin.
My friend absolutely hates episode 3 and episode 2 because of Hayden Christensen. But he's like, I absolutely love Clone Wars Anakin. I can't get enough of him. Absolutely love him.
Yeah.
Well, Hayden Christensen is so good.
We tell him all the time.
That's gross.
Wrong, but...
He talks about sand.
It's gross.
So Hayden Christensen was not really good in episode 2.
He was literally the worst Anakin they could have picked.
In episode 2, yeah, but episode 3,
he was
kinda...
good. He grew up a lot. And we saw, and we get to see that evolution. We get to see that growth in the Clone Wars cartoon.
And his main argument is like, oh, Clone Wars Anakin would never kill younglings and stuff. Like, yes, he would.
But he did, didn't he?
He did. But he's just saying, and he's just saying that Clone Wars Anakin.
Yeah.
The cartoon Anakin would never do what episode 3 Anakin did.
But if you look at...
But when you look at it,
yeah,
he has tendencies to be a little bit aggressive towards anything.
Yeah.
It is weird, though. I was thinking about that while watching the show. It's like, eventually this guy, like this season, especially because you guys were just watching it, this guy right now, in the next part, whenever this ends and the movie begins... He's about to murder children.
3 days. But I think that makes his character that much better. Like, his character arc that much better. Because he goes from this little kid in episode 1 that we don't really care about. We're like, okay, he's going to be Darth Vader, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
To episode 2, and we're like, oh, my God. It's the Ahsoka effect. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Stop. And then going chronologically, not release date.
Yeah.
We see him... In the Clone Wars movie, like, okay, so this is how it's going to be. He's going to be a master to this Padawan. And then we see him in the Clone Wars show, and they flesh him out, and they take away, when you take away his whininess and make him this hardened battle general, like we've been told.
Yeah.
His reputation, as Grievous says, somewhat of your reputation.
Yeah.
Like, we get to see that reputation play out, and then in episode 3, he's still whiny, but when you think about it, Dave Filoni, I don't like praising him too much,
right?
It gets annoying at some points, but
everything,
he kind of worked with what he had, and he made that final scene with Ahsoka, like, their final meeting, the reason why he's kind of whiny again. Like, he just met his friend. Now he's doing this stuff. The council has denied him master.
Yeah.
He's got all these things.
His
wife
is
pregnant.
Yeah, his whole world is falling apart.
His secret wife is pregnant that he can't have.
Yeah. His
and
whole
he,
world is falling apart right
and
after.
Then,
and then it starts with
Ahsoka. And then he explodes.
Yeah.
And then we see that in Ahsoka.
Now we actually get to see why he's so upset about not getting mastership.
Yes.
Man did a whole war.
Man did everything he possibly could. He had a Padawan. Whether you agree or disagree with what his masterhood, whatever.
Yeah.
He was a good master to Ahsoka.
He was.
Now, Obi-Wan had a hand in that. He helped her, too. But that's with any Padawan.
Especially because he took on Padawan very early.
Yeah. He had her. He taught her. He trained her. She was wrongly accused. She saw the faults in the Jedi Order way before he did. And then it clicked in his head, oh, shit. Jedi Order's kind of crooked. No wonder I'm not master.
Yeah.
And, you know, things play out how they did. It's just a... Like,
we see the rise and fall. We get to see the rise and fall of Anakin Skywalker the way that it was supposed to be portrayed.
Yeah, we see...
Because when...
And we're like, okay, this is all we're getting of him? Really? Like... We get a whiny bastard and then a slightly less whiny bastard and a badass lightsaber battle. Like, that's all we get of Anakin.
Yeah.
And then Dave Filoni and George Lucas probably, hey, he needs a little bit fleshing out. And so they were like, let's do it. And so they did it, and it was a masterpiece.
The Clone Wars, so when we get to see Obi-Wan in episode 4 for the first time, when it came out,
man's traumatized, obviously.
Obviously. But...
And we saw why he is traumatized.
Yeah, but we saw when he talked about Anakin and fighting with him in the Clone Wars, we get to see a little bit of that nostalgia in him.
Yeah.
Even though the movie is set, you know, 30 years before the Clone Wars came out, you get to see, I mean, Al Guinness was such a terrific actor.
Yeah, I think that's more, like, not to cut you off, but, like, the creators of the Clone Wars working with what they had.
Right.
And it was, I think it's a good system, not system, but a good recipe to follow. Like, if you do have those faults.
Yeah.
Like, maybe make something that explains that and just go for it.
Yeah.
And
like
they did.
It's like the lightsaber, so it's like a battle between Obi-Wan and Darth Vader. And I know this kind of goes off of what we're talking about, but so a lot of people complain that it wasn't as prolific of a sword fight as it should have been.
See what happened last time they fought.
But the thing is that's not what Obi-Wan wanted. Obi-Wan wanted to, number one, you know, kind of end things with, you know, with Vader.
Yeah.
You know, it was his closure.
His time was coming.
And he was just biding time to allow Luke and Leia to escape. And the lightsabers was merely a formality.
That, and actual explanation, 70s.
Yeah, I mean, 70s.
But to give an explanation to 70s, they're two old men. One of them doesn't really want to fight. He just wants to keep a distraction.
They're two old men.
And they just want to... Obi-Wan basically just wants to move on from what happened in episode 3.
Yeah. And
that's those 10, 20, 19 years on Tatooine, not getting that closure he wanted, and then, or needed, and then he finally comes face to face with what he created, and is like, okay, my time, this is
it. Looked way too old for the separation that they had.
True, but besides that, the Clone Wars had some of the best pivotal moments in
The whole Star Wars universe.
Yeah, and I kind of gave Clone Wars some shit for their lightsaber battles because it was stiff and it was cartoon, but there was one I saw on Instagram, somebody pointed out, the masterfulness of this battle. It was Anakin and Obi-Wan versus Dooku. And Obi-Wan being master defense, Anakin being master of offense, Dooku was like, okay, and switched them. And he won the battle.
Yeah.
And that was just the genius of the creators of the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, something I got to throw in, because it's basically the same show. It's Rebels. Rebels has its faults, but it's the same concept.
Yeah.
And I think if you talk about Clone Wars, you got to talk about Rebels, because they're almost one and the same.
The thing with Rebels is that you have you have a bigger time span that you can work with.
Yeah.
And you have less source material. And you have a lot more...
There's not as much conflict in the galaxy.
Right.
Galaxy's at peace, quote-unquote. And there's... people who aren't really liking what the Empire's doing. So they
I
made
think it's
Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah, I think it's a problem whenever you have the same people doing the same thing, though. Like, should have been a new animation, probably should have taken a new direction, probably should have had a different
So
style.
I don't, Rebels was a different type of animation than Clone Wars was.
It was basically the same thing.
So I would, it's two totally different animation styles.
I'm gonna address what he said. I don't think doing that would have helped. I understand what you're saying.
Well, I think
but
the,
to keep
the story
the,
was also pretty boring.
To keep the... I don't know, the feel, like the same, it's because it's the same story, but to keep the same feel, it's like an artist has a specific art style.
Yeah.
That's what the creators of both shows did, and that's, you can see it. But then you have shows like Resistance. It's totally different than anything else. I haven't seen it, so I can't comment on it.
I haven't either.
But it's different animation, different story, different this, different that. But when you have something that flows like that, it's like painting something in watercolor and then changing to spray paint. It doesn't, like, make it look good, but it doesn't. They don't, just don't go together.
Yeah.
But when you take, like, watercolor and then move into acrylic, that's been watered down.
Yeah.
You know, it's different, but the same.
Yeah.
It flows together.
Right.
Animation style is different. It's a little bit more doughy, not as sharp angles and stuff.
Yeah.
They're a bit more soft and doughy.
But it's still partially associated with 3D animation.
Yeah, it's generally the same thing.
I mean, you can obviously tell a difference in the animation style between Rebels and Clone Wars.
Yeah, that's why I said.
Yeah.
You got your watercolor and you change it into watered down acrylic paint.
Yeah.
It's basically the same thing, one's just a little bit different. To give it a different feel, because it's a different era of the Star Wars story.
Yeah.
But it's a different era and different time, so you could switch up a little bit, but a totally different animation style, I don't think would have had
the impact that it did.
It wouldn't have flowed the same.
Yeah. And then,
especially if you're watching back-to-back, you're like, oh, Clone Wars, animation style. And then you go to something totally different, you're like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That's different.
So going off of the Clone Wars, I mean, we have to kind of touch on the Bad Batch a little bit.
I don't think it's there yet. I don't think Bad Batch is on the level of Clone Wars and Rebels just yet. It's only had one season, couple episodes. Maybe when season one's over, it'll be on that level. It's a good show, but I don't think it's on that level. That, and they made Bad Batch for adults. They did.
They did.
It's an adult show.
It is. So the very first episode of the Bad Batch, coming off of the heels of Clone Wars, because that's essentially what it is. It starts
basically
out,
Clone Wars season 8, but since the Clone Wars ended, you can't call it the Clone Wars.
Yeah. The very first episode was amazing because it followed the formula of the Clone Wars.
Yeah, it's like they had an original trilogy era show in the format of Clone Wars.
Yeah.
I liked it. And enjoying it. I have my nitpicks, of course. I think Omega is going to be an Ahsoka Tano. We're going to hate her. I mean, not really hate her, but she's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, she's not getting as much flack as Ahsoka did. Because people saw what happened with Ahsoka.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow. Maybe not hate on the character chosen before it gets totally fleshed out.
So, I am liking the Bad Batch. I was really hoping to see more of them interacting with the formation of the Empire.
They turned from clones to smugglers. Like, within...
Yeah, there were scenarios.
Within an episode, they did.
Yeah.
They were, okay, Empire, we got caught. We didn't follow orders. We went one place. Oh, that failed. Went to another. Oh, we're mercenaries now.
Yeah. And it was just kind of a really quick transition. And it's
too quick of a transition.
It is. And it's following that path. And I'm hoping that in...
They just kind of slow it down.
Later seasons, we get more of the Empire. Because they touched on changing over from clones to stormtroopers.
Yeah, I think they'll slowly start that, but it hasn't even been a month.
Well, no. I mean, they talked about it in the first episode.
Yeah, having clones being obsolete, even though they're not.
It's because they take too much time to grow up.
It's because they're also too expensive.
That, and like, they don't want to have to keep relying on the Kaminoans. That and the original plan was to, we'll have clones until it's over.
Yeah.
And then now that it's over, they don't need clones anymore. And now they need something that's a little bit more obedient. Forcefully obedient. Not obedient because they're obedient.
Yeah.
You know, there has to be some kind of stake in it.
Yeah. But, I mean, I do like I do like the Bad Batch. You know, we've been following them since the first episode.
Yeah.
And I do, I like Dave Filoni. So I'm really interested to see where he's going to go with this.
Yeah, one thing I like that Homer did was they flesh out characters that needed fleshing out. Anakin is one of them.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Captain Rex. Ahsoka. I can go on and on and on and on.
Right.
Two characters that stick out the most that needed the most fleshing out. Darth Maul.
Yes.
They didn't need to bring him back, but since they did, they fleshed him out in a completely different way. Not in a different way, but in an extreme way.
Which they continued into Rebels.
And he quickly became one of my favorite Sith Lords ever. And then the other one, Saj Ventress. We saw her in the Tarkovsky Clone Wars. We're like, okay, Dooku's secret apprentice, blah, 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 blah. And then they brought her back in the Clone Wars movie. And then we're like, well, what happened to her now?
Yeah.
And so when they made the show, she was always that antagonist. And then Dooku betrayed her because she failed for the last time.
Yeah.
Sort of deal. And she's like, okay, I'll go back to Dathomir. And that kicked off Darth Maul's arc. She finds Savage Opress, that becomes a couple episode story arc. And then he's like, I gotta find my brother. And then boom, Darth Maul.
Yeah.
And so they brought him back in a way that was kind of silly. The man literally got chopped in half. He should have been dead. But the fact that they brought him back the way they did, it was an exceptional explanation for me. Like, I'm okay with that explanation.
Yeah,
it was not, like, sheer submit force bullshit. It was, he was angry as shit.
Yeah. And his revenge
crazy.
Kept him alive.
And then that craziness came, like, he was killing civilians, he was killing children. On a children's show.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a children's show.
Yeah.
That was fun. He's pretty ruthless.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite characters of all time. I love him.
Yeah, they gave him, because we saw him in episode one, and he quickly became a fan favorite just because of how badass he was, and that's all thanks to Ray Parks.
Because he was like a double-bladed lightsaber, he was a Jedi Master,
and
then he got chopped in half, and like, okay, he was cool, and then Clone Wars came around, and they were like, he's bad, and he's pissed, he just killed you. Fuck! he did not. Ooh, there's only one other person in Star Wars that kills children.
Yeah.
We see where he comes. We see where he goes.
Yeah.
What's gonna happen with Darth Maul? Those characters are kind of similar. Anakin and Darth Maul.
Yeah.
They are so similar. It's not even funny. But yeah. Anyway, I went on my Darth Maul rant because I like Darth Maul.
Darth Maul is kind of badass.
He's pretty cool.
He is.
Speaking of Saj Ventress and Bad Batch, I both got those figures for my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And now I get to flesh out my shells even more. My cousin makes the Darth Maul, because that's cool.
Yeah. So there's one more I want to talk about real quick. It's a fairly new one. It's been out for about 5 days now. It's the new Masters of the Universe animated series. One of the reasons why I wanted to bring it up is because of the backlash that it has gotten from everybody.
I can see why, though.
Like, the other day when I was at work and I was on lunch, I was watching reviews on YouTube about it, and nobody liked it. The thing that I have a problem with those reviews is, so the title never mentioned T-Man. It literally says Masters of the Universe.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why everybody is so pissed is because they thought it was going to be a He-Man resurgence movie.
The reason why everybody was so pissed was because Kevin Smith said there would be plenty of He-Man, and then he died in the first episode. And that was kind of his fault.
It was.
But at the same time, it's
we
not...
still got to see a lot of He-Man, though, in,
yeah.
in flashbacks and stuff.
It was,
Yeah, he was also, like, the main thing of the trailer. If you look up the trailer...
Yeah. Yeah, they did shove him
He-Man
in this. They definitely used He-Man. They definitely used He-Man as a selling point, and then he died in the first episode and then had a runtime of, like, 15
Spoilers,
minutes at
by
most.
The way.
Whatever.
Yeah. Look, if you're listening to our show, you already know there's going to be spoilers.
Like, I don't know. I don't like how they used him, but at the same time, who cares? I mean, it literally says Masters of the Universe Revelations. It didn't say Masters of the Universe He-Man.
Yeah. So,
I'm not connected in He-Man to He-Man in that way. I don't care for He-Man. I've never been a He-Man kid.
He's a very, like, manly man thing. He's
yeah.
like Johnny Bravo, but not sexist.
Have you seen the original He-Man? He
okay.
was super not manly man.
So, we're gonna skip over that.
I've just never been attached to it. When we watched it, I was like, okay, Master of the Universe. Because it never made sense to me.
Yeah.
He-Man to me is just a giant acid trip with a strong guy. Like, it makes no sense to me whatsoever why there's these laser guns and hover planes and whatever. But for some reason, he still wants to use a fucking sword. Again, it's a powerful magical sword, but I mean, you could kill Skeletor. Okay, no problem. They're like, hey, why don't we just like bomb whatever mountain he's in? Like, He-Man can
He-Man
be solved in
He-Man,
30 seconds.
Yeah, He-Man as a show never really had stakes.
Yeah, it's like it doesn't make sense. Like Star Wars, it's like. They use melee weapons. Yeah, those melee weapons are plasma beams, and they can block the things that are coming towards them. And He-Man, it's run for your life. Ching, I got a sword.
Okay, so He-Man can block lasers with his magic sword.
Magic sword.
Yeah.
Can Teela block lasers with her normal sword?
No, but Teela does use a laser as well.
Okay, say I'm a normal guy with a laser gun, and you're Teela.
Uh-huh.
You're dead, and there is one of the main characters. Oh, what's He-Man going to do about it? Oh, because nobody knows. Oh, Prince Adam, where'd he go? I have the power. They don't. Shut the fuck up. Oh, here comes freaking Skeletor. Oh, I'm going to take over Castle Grayskull. Shut up. You're dead.
Plus, in the original show, he never fucking stepped out of his stick mouth.
He did.
Or like,
he did all the time. All the time.
Man-at-Arms is literally the most powerful character in He-Man. He-Man, he's the most powerful man in the universe. No, he's not. If you take He-Man and Man-at-Arms and they have him fight, all Man-at-Arms has to do is go with his little grappling hook, and then he has to take out his big-ass Spartan laser, and He-Man is dead. That's how much sense He-Man makes to me.
You just ruined, like, 1,000 Gen Xers' childhood show
I'm
now.
I'm so happy that, like, because I don't have a way to explain it. You just explained it perfectly.
Exactly.
All I can
you
say
know
is, man,
so
I didn't like that show, but he's just fucking bombarded.
You know what's so special about He-Man? He's plot armor. He's a plot armor character. That's why I don't like him. Because all his problems are solved because he's the main character. And they literally showed that in Revelations. He is not special at all. He got
rude.
He's just a strong guy with a sword and a world.
You say I'm a strong guy normally. The dude doesn't even do Pilates or shit.
He's
like, I can work out.
And like, Skeletor, Kevin Smith, I think this is his genius coming through. He made Skeletor smart. He just had to give him common sense. He made weakness as common sense. Yeah, right.
Both of their weaknesses originally were common sense, and now one of them got a little bit of it and immediately won.
Yeah, Skeletor was like, oh, I'm gonna fight He-Man, and it's like, he's got the upper hand on me. Oh, but the key just so happens to be right behind me. Go ahead, stab me, He-Man. Do it. Do it. And he stabbed him. He's like, yeah, thanks. Now I just ruined the world, and we're both dead.
But we're not both dead. I've just been hiding.
Exactly. And then Teela's like, what about my friend?
Oh, you're alive again? Dead again.
I never understood Teela's motivation either in that show. Like, she was grieving and stuff because her friend died, but, like, He-Man died, and her only reason for not talking to him and being mad at him was because he lied to her.
It's about a pretty big thing, though.
She felt betrayed.
But it was like...
But she also did come to the land of the dead for him and was like, no, don't talk to me. Bitch, you just came to heaven.
She was so back and forth with her feelings towards him the whole time. Like, she was, oh, I don't want to bring up my past. Literally goes to, I forget what the other place is called. Skeletor's Castle.
Snake Mountain.
She literally goes there and is like, I don't want to talk about my past. But here's something about my past. And then she does all that stuff. And then she goes to Castle Grayskull and tells her friend, hey, I want to talk about my past. And you know what she does? Takes her to a place of her past. And she's like, oh, I don't want to talk about my past. Here's everybody from my past. Just makes no sense to me. If she really didn't want to talk about her past, she wouldn't have even taken the job to go get the goblet. She wouldn't. She'd just be like, yeah, I'm good. You paid us double the first time. Bye.
Yeah, it's not even an indirect characterization. It's just fucking confusing.
That's my problem. Like, the animation, I love the animation of Masters of the Universe Revelations. I just don't get why certain characters did certain things. And I'm finally got to show that He-Man is just a dude. I mean, like, Batman's just a dude, but he's smart.
He-Man really
as fuck.
Is just a dude with a magic sword.
Exactly. You take away the magic sword, and he's just a dude.
Although he does have muscles.
You take away Batman's bat suit, he's still smart as hell, and he'll just go get another bat suit. You know, He-Man does not have another sword. His sword's broken too, and he had to traverse different terrains.
So, spoilers, now I know He-Man died. I didn't know that. I mean, he's watched the fucking show.
He's
died twice. He died in heaven?
Because the second time.
No, He-Man died, and then Prince Adam died.
Okay, so the second time he died, he was like, I'm going to do this, and left himself completely vulnerable. I guess nobody just saw Skeletor working behind him.
Because nobody wanted to say, hey, Adam.
Adam. You're welcome. I just read He-Man for you. Good luck trying to ruin our cartoons, because our cartoons have common sense.
No, that's the funny thing. The cartoons that don't, no, they don't.
Yeah.
Adventure Time? You'd be like, oh, that's bullshit. Oh, what? It's ooh.
Yeah. Oh, Finn, he's just a fleshy boy? Yeah, no shit. He gets his legs broken like 6 times in like an episode.
Oh, my God.
He gets his deer and stomps on his leg. Oh, but it's a cartoon. He doesn't need the plot armor. You know why? Because he has a magical dog.
And like, not terribly,
the dog, not terribly disappointing revelation. It's time to end the episode.
Take away the grass for you. It's a treehouse.
And a dog.
And a dog. And a worm that sits in the dog's violin. Viola.
Viola. And Bimo.
And a video game that talks to him. Yeah, what's He-Man got?
Oh, shit, I popped so much shit off my chair.
What's He-Man got? A magic sword. Got the magic sword. What does he have? A gay shirt.
I would like to thank all of my co-hosts tonight for completely and totally destroying my entire fucking childhood.
I like how he was like, let's talk about Masters of the Universe Revelation.
Dude!
I read this thing on... Dang, I was like... There you go. I've explained it for you.
I like how you were like, we're gonna talk about your childhood and we're gonna talk about my childhood. And I was like, are you sure that we want to do that? And you were like, yeah, I'll be fine.
Anyway, it's only 3 minutes left of the episode. I'd like to thank all my co-hosts, all my hosts, all of the people in the studio, everybody listening, everybody watching, all of our supporters, all of our followers.
To the window!
We love you all very much. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for, you know, all the support and love we get. Please support the Veterans Fire, please, and EMS. They're out there every day. Put in their lives on the line for you. Don't judge the 99% by the 1%. And as always, be safe, be smart. We want you back here every night that we broadcast on with Curiosity Media. Every Sunday night for Movie of the Week. Every Tuesday night for Falling from Grace Podcast. Every Wednesday night for the Cinephiles, and every Friday night for Note by Note, which is currently on hiatus. I hope you all have a better Wednesday night than I'm going to have. Hope you guys have a fantastic week, and we will see you later.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
ADHD and indigestion.
Great show.
Good night, everybody.